This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, America, and welcome to Cleveland. It is Thursday, July 14, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm Ken Klukowski, guest hosting for Tony Perkins. We're here with Washington Watch, broadcasting all week live out of Cleveland on the shores of the Great Lakes as the Republican Party gathers together to nominate Donald Trump as President of the United States, and also his soon tomorrow morning to be revealed vice presidential pick, who I am sure also will be nominated by the full Republican National Convention to be his running mate as Donald Trump and this mystery VP, again, to be unveiled to all of us tomorrow, will go to war against Hillary Clinton and the Democrats for two very different visions of what America is all about and where they are going with it. I'm delighted to be with you this week. I do want to say at the outset as well, in light of the subject matter, it's important to know that neither Washington Watch nor American Family Radio nor any of our affiliates take any position or make any endorsements regarding President of the United States or any candidate for federal office. Any viewpoints expressed or endorsements made are in the personal capacity of the individual speaking and do not reflect the views of American Family Radio, Bot Radio, Washington Watch, or any other organization for that matter. Anywhere on earth, anywhere under the sun, or under heaven, as we would say. But it's a fantastic experience watching democracy unfold. This week we've been dealing with the Republican Party platform, the delegates who came here to debate and produce a document which will be the most conservative platform in modern history, quite possibly ever. I don't know how many cycles or years I have to go back to take a look. But the 2016 Republican Party platform, which will be formally adopted next Monday and presented to the party's soon-to-be nominee, Donald Trump, it is more conservative than the 2012 platform. It's more conservative than the 2008 platform. It's more conservative than the platforms under which George W. Bush ran for president of the United States. So if you are a constitutional conservative, whether it's an economic conservative, a social conservative, or a safety conservative, a national security conservative, you will be abundantly pleased, I think, as I am, as certainly someone who is a full-fledged and unapologetic Reagan conservative, in terms of the principles that are embraced by the Republican Party. And that will be formally adopted as the vision for America of the grand old party next year. It's been an incredible lineup, and we have a great show ready for you. We're going to be bringing on three of the leaders of the Republican Party who are going to give their perspectives on the issues that that are being tackled, both in the platform, but also what's going on in the news. I mean, what we are dealing with our family, with our faith, with our freedom. And we're going to be diving into that through the rest of the hour. And then at the end, towards the end of the show, I want to be taking your calls. We're going to set aside almost a third of this show to let you, the American people, speak out. There's about a million of your fellow citizens listening in, including those in public office, those in positions of influence. You know, they're all gathering in this town right now. So as you hear these perspectives, I want to hear what you think. Make sure you're calling in and telling us. We'll be opening up those phone lines later. And I know that many times people might feel a little nervous about calling in if they're expressing a different view. I want you to know your views are welcome and respected here. In fact, as much as I like to hear people agree with me, you can ask my wife, I'd like to hear people agree with me. I think it's even more important if you disagree. These are important things. I mean, we are in a democratic republic here. We have the right and the obligation to be able to engage each other, to discuss these things, and as a self-governing people, to be able to open up these ideas and to have an honest and civil discourse. Folks, that's the only way we're going to make it. That's the only way under God that we're going to flourish as a democracy. There are issues that are really dividing us these days. And I think that part of it is because part of it, not all, but part of it is because of a lack of a robust debate. In fact, there are those out there who are demonizing those who disagree with them, that their solution, if they disagree with you, is to call you a hater, call you a hate monger, say that you're trying to scare people. And in doing so, to try and silence debate. And the opposite is what we need. As the Supreme Court said in 2010 in its Citizens United decision, a wonderful decision about free speech, the Supreme Court held that the solution to speech that you disagree with is more speech on both sides, not to shut down debate. And we're going to be talking about those issues right now with our first guest. Joining us is your normal host in this hour, the president of the Family Research Council, the Honorable Tony Perkins. Tony, welcome back to your own show.
Well, thanks, Ken. Great to be with you. I'm not accustomed to calling in, but I made it through to the switchboard. Want to say thanks you for hosting again as we're up here in Cleveland. I just stepped out of the Council for National Policy meeting, which you also participated in today. That's one of the other hats I wear. I serve as president of that organization. But a lot going on here in Cleveland. In fact, let me just mention I'll be on Hannity on his show tonight on Fox, talking about the platform and the potential BP pick that is beginning to circulate from the media regarding who Donald Trump's going to pick as his running mate.
Now, what is your bottom line takeaway? I know it's come up in different ways and fashions with me and with our different guests over the week, but I'd like to get your thoughts. I mean, what are you going to tell Sean? What's your bottom line takeaway regarding the Republican Party platform since you served as a delegate on the platform committee and were one of the men and women who were engaged in crafting this document?
Well, as kind of the dust has settled through the process and others have taken a chance to look at it, those that have a longer track record, or maybe I should say a broader framework in which to look at it, it is clearly the most conservative platform that the Republican Party has put forth. I mean, there are numerous recognitions of religious freedom, but also the acknowledgement that the acknowledgement of the attack that has been systematically launched against religious freedom in the last 7.5 years from the Obama administration. I mean, strong language about marriage and what it is, the union of one man and one woman, and the essential nature of that relationship, that it is the cornerstone of the very foundation of our society. Therefore, we must work to protect it and uphold it. And it calls out the Supreme Court and their activist decisions, including the case in which they redefined marriage, and it calls on calls for a constitutional amendment to address that issue. So very strong on all of the issues. In life, the issue of life throughout the document, in several sections, there's six sections, so life comes up in about three of those sections, and it, in fact, for the first time, calls out Planned Parenthood for the defunding of Planned Parenthood for their participation in the trafficking of human body parts.
And Tony, and that's an issue where the poll numbers are so overwhelming. I mean, every year Americans become increasingly pro-life thanks to 4D ultrasounds and whatnot. People are able to say, look, you know, who am I going to believe, Planned Parenthood? You are my lying eyes. I am looking at a baby turning around in this womb right in front of me. But even though the country is becoming more pro-life, it's even more lopsided to say, hey, even if you think there is that abortion should be legal or there is a right to abortion, very few Americans believe that you have the right to demand that someone, some taxpayer, has to pay for abortion, especially right. if they object to it. Now, as we're talking about these issues, we're talking about overwhelming majorities, that there was still some sort of talk about a few troublemakers and something of a minority report that was being circulated. What can you tell us about that? You can explain it better than I can. Unpack that quickly for our listeners.
I will. Let me go back just a moment and read, actually, from the platform. This is a draft. It's not yet been adopted. It'll be adopted next week by the full convention. But here's what, because I want to read this, Kent, because there have been those in the press that have said that they're backing away from marriage. But here's what it says. We do not accept the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, and we urge its reversal, whether through judicial reconsideration or a constitutional amendment returning control over marriage to the states. Doesn't sound wishy-washy to me. Sounds like
not at all. I mean, that's what happens if you overrule Roe v. Wade. That means there's no federal constitutional right to abortion, which means then there's nothing in the Constitution about abortion, which means that under the 10th Amendment that the states can regulate or ban abortion the way that they could for centuries before Roe v. Wade came about.
Yeah. And to your question, there was an effort to